But I think we're ready to begin, yeah?
Yes, let's go.
Cool.
Hum the intro music.
They'll find a way to put it in miraculously. It's the power of radio. But Tar Mahadevan, we're back at it again.
What's good, Kevin?
How are you feeling?
Good.
Good. Good to know. Good to have such a full studio tonight. I know,
yeah,
for the listeners, yeah, it really is a little bit of a party. And in that spirit, first of all, cheers to everybody in the building. Thanks so much for coming out, and thanks for being with us. We have two remarkable guests.
Yes.
You know, gentlemen, scholars, and people who I think this is going to be a really important conversation, because I think the work that you guys are doing in terms of educating this young and emerging music community will be essential to the growth and maintenance of this community. Two learned gentlemen,
learned
esteemed lawyers.
Yes. That's so, yeah.
Right? Which is significant.
I've been wanting to do this.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. This you pushing for this show for a minute. You know, lawyers who are also organizers and culture creators in the city
Taste
of Chicago.
Makers,
tastemakers, influencers.
Clout chasers. No, yes. I'm just kidding.
You hear that, Nike? We're influencers.
Already with the plug.
Yeah, just trying to get some sneakers, that's all. Sorry.
You want to do the honors, or you?
No, you do it better.
So we have, you cannot see, but we have Brent Butcher, which is your real name.
It is.
But was your family butchers in England? I just feel like that's...
What's that?
Like, your family were butchers?
No, I think
family
it's
butchers.
German, of German origin.
Okay, but like wherever they were from, they were butchers?
Oh, my
God.
I don't
know.
My dad was actually adopted.
Oh, interesting.
Or my dad's father was adopted. So the butcher side is the adopted family.
Oh. There you go. And we also have Eddie Sanders, a.k.a. Esquire, in the building.
What's going on?
For both of these gentlemen, salute to y'all. Thank you guys for rocking with us. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, bro.
I think I want to just start with your alls. Obviously, you guys are different people and have very different stories. And so I want to maybe just begin by your are you both from Chicago?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Right.
I'm from Chicago.
Right. So I want to talk a little about origin story a little bit. And Eddie, maybe you, if you don't mind, start us off. Like, where do you come from? Where were you raised in this fine and problematic city?
Well, I would say when it comes to like my start in this, you were around for that. When I moved back from, I went to school in Virginia for undergrad, came back here for law school, linked up with some real cool brothers called by the name of BBU.
Let's go.
You know?
Let's go.
So I was DJing for them. So even before that, like I started off, I was doing club security because I read that Russell Simmons book, Do You? And like in that, he said that he started off as a doorman at a club, and it allowed him to meet everybody because, of course, you got to meet the doorman to come into the club. So I was like, all right, cool. Let me find a hot spot that's doing that. And Empire Liquors, no longer here. It's called Revel Room now or something, was the spot I did that at. So around that time, I was doing the club security. It was cool.
And going to law school. And also DJing.
And DJing.
For this emerging and incredible hip-hop crew.
Yeah, so I'm with the group, and that gave me my start as, like, my legal career, because it would just be, yo, Eddie, look over this. Eddie, what does this mean?
Even when you were in law school.
While in law school. So I wasn't acting as a lawyer, because I don't want to get in trouble right now.
But and I was weren't taking those fees.
No, I wasn't taking any fees. I was just
allegedly
helping friends out.
And right. Yeah,
it just happened that all my friends were artists. So it just, like...
Did you think about doing entertainment law before that?
Actually, I started off, I wanted to do sports law, because when I was at Virginia State, I was a baseball player. So my whole thing was, all right, I didn't go as an athlete. I can go as like an agent or something. My first year of law school, I was looking at sports law, but it just wasn't as appealing as I thought it was going to be. Didn't really have a passion for it. Besides from playing sports, I couldn't see myself in the business side of it. And then, like, the music thing has always been around high school, doing the marching band and all that.
Oh,
and,
wait, you know, wait. What did you play, though?
I was a drummer. I was a snare
Okay.
drummer.
Okay. So. High school?
Hillcrest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And where did you go? And where did you go to law school?
John Marshall.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, I was here in the city the whole time.
Okay.
So, one of, like, my first gigs, I was working. I was an intern for this company called The Movement. They were like this management company at the time. They managed Mano, Hollywood Hope, Mike Terror, and even Hebrew back in the day. Mm-hmm. So I was getting my feet wet with just, I was just staying around a bunch of different things. And then like once I passed the bar and I got out there, I had clientele to work with because people just knew me from the scene. You know?
So I want to go, and Brent, I'm gonna bring you in a second, but I do want to go back to BBU because yeah. I am a giant fan of BBU, and in some ways they are in that, you know, pre-stage before I would say like the Chicago glow up in some ways.
We actually, we were before SoundCloud and all that.
Right.
What does that stand for, BBU?
Black, Brown, and Ugly, and then also Bin Laden blowing up.
Bin Laden blowing up.
Okay. Yeah. You know the whole blowback effect on things?
Right.
When you create something and it turns on you?
So
Bin Laden blowing up was that.
And how I loved what they made. And
so were they just DJs?
No.
Dope artists. Like they actually
dope
spit.
Artists. I mean,
shout out to Kevin. We got to give Kevin credit because he actually got us paid, you know? Kevin actually always.
Oh, for real?
Sure.
All right. Hey, listen.
Good money.
He's like, hey, I didn't even know what did that, but I'll pat myself on the back.
It always works. But you could still find their music online. My favorite song is the Why You Talk Like That joint. Yeah. You know, we teach that at YCA, by the way.
Okay.
As a writing prompt, like an etymology of your tongue. How did you come to speak the way that you speak? Like that song is really brilliant.
Was it Stud Terkel? Was the author of that? Like
of the.
Of that phrase, why you talk like that? I think he was.
Oh, good word!
Yeah,
put me up. That's what's up. Let's go.
He's the biggest Studs Terkel fan.
Yeah, so we actually we tried to name that song Studs Terkel. And our management
really
was like
I love that. Yeah.
I don't think people get the name. So you should just name it the Hood. So we were like, all right.
Also, that should be someone's rap name. Just saying.
Yeah, hey, yeah. Brett, I'm saying, bro.
Listen.
The Hood?
I know.
All right. Save it for me. So we're going to come back because, we have a lot of stories to tell. And I think you guys have a lot of advice to give to young artists and people about to, you know, try to get into this industry. But how did you, Brett, come into the scene here? I mean, where did you come from, and then how did you come to Chicago?
So I grew up in a suburb northwest of here, about an hour, called Dundee, and I moved down here in 2010 to go to law school at DePaul. I've always been kind of a music guy; just love digging for new music, even like early Chicago stuff. You know, Psychodrama and Triple Darkness and EC Illa and,
let's,
you know, all the regular Twista, Kanye, all that stuff too. But when I got down here, I mean, I didn't know anybody here in the city. I was going to law school. I was freaking out a bit. Law school was tough at first.
Where were you living?
When I first moved down here, I lived right on North Avenue in Wicker Park. So it was it was a little different in 2010. But it was a cool place to live and kind of get to know people. I just started going out to shows. At the time, it was like Mike Terror and Mano and Holt and kind of the early Treaty Crew stuff.
So you knew BBU?
I knew BBU.
Yeah.
Did you know Eddie?
I was familiar with them. I didn't know any of these people, right?
Right.
So I just went to shows. I'm with my girlfriend at the time. I drag her with or friends if I could, and then
at the time she's
no longer.
Yeah,
she's
your girlfriend.
No
she's
longer.
Living.
Yeah.
She's no longer your girlfriend.
She is living. Yeah. She is no longer my girlfriend.
She's dead to me.
So when I couldn't drag somebody with me, I just kind of went to shows by myself,
which is a really important part.
Yeah,
right?
No,
my man Dylan is sitting here tonight. You got to go to shows alone if you're that kind of fan and that kind of like. You know, like music nerd, right?
And I wasn't, you know, like I'm kind of uncomfortable by myself, you know, like going to shows, like that was tough at first. But I got comfortable doing it, and then I became kind of a familiar face and met some cool people. My second year of law school, well, first of all, I went to law school thinking I was going to be like a criminal attorney. And then I got there and realized I don't even like public speaking that much. I can't be in the courtroom being all theatric and pounding on desks. So, that was out the window, but I started a blog called Go Ill.
I want to talk about
sometime
that.
Sometime around 2011-ish.
Oh.
And that's kind of how I built relationships with artists. But
did you know about Fake Shore and Ruben
Hornet? Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Fake Shore was, I mean, even before I moved to Chicago, I knew Fake Shore. you know, downloading music on Kazaa or LimeWire or whatever.
Kazaa, bitch!
I was really like a hoarder of music.
LimeWire.
I just had
Napster. Shit.
Hard drives full of stuff. I was just a collector of music, so I really loved digging and like putting people on to music. So that kind of carried on, you know, throughout till now. I still do that.
That's really interesting because later you go on to also start an incredibly powerful platform that I think we are beginning to see the real, you know, growth of now these days.
Yeah, shout out to These Days crew, man. When I was, I was in law school, I had some free time, and kind of blogging and just writing about stuff was an easy way for me to decompress at the end of the night. And it was just fun for me. And then when people started kind of looking at it, and by no means was it huge or, you know, hugely popular anywhere like Fake Shore, but people started reading it, then it was like a responsibility that I had to keep it going and keep supporting the people that I met and my friends. So I kept doing it. And then once I graduated, I was like, less and less free time. I got to work. I got to pay the bills. And 2 years ago, September, I decided to fold up that operation, and I started These Days with some close friends of mine, and we've been going ever since.
Word.
Oh, so Goil was running until 2 years, like
2015?
2015.
Oh, yep. Dope. So I guess, how do you guys make a living now?
Depends on what day of the week it is.
Right.
All right. I feel like you're a man of many hats.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of stuff. But before we get there,
nice Adidas fit currently.
The first rule of getting into the industry, staying present and showing your face, being out there.
So for
being out there,
politicking,
being present, especially in Chicago.
In these things.
Yeah. That's
nobody's gonna know who you are by you just sitting in your crib. Like,
you can't just be on Twitter talking.
No, you have to be present.
That's
so.
True.
Yeah. No. Got
to make it known.
A bot.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that is significant to art and organizing in Chicago, and showing up to actually like putting palm to palm is significant. And that's something that goes a long way. And this moment in Chicago music is towards that idea. Yeah.
Yeah. This digital world we live in, people don't understand like being present in the physical space is just as important as like having a great digital presence as well.
And not necessarily with an agenda, but just being there, supporting, having conversations. Not like, how can we work together, but just
let's
be
build,
there.
Family.
Yeah, just have regular conversations about things.
And support, too, right? Like, show up for folks. Like, if you don't always have to be on stage to be out.
Right.
You know,
I think that's what I tell artists who ask me how to get on. I'm like, you just got to go to shit and have people know you. Know your face.
Right, that whole... Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to go unless I'm performing. Like, no,
right, that's bullshit.
If you're not making money out of this, you got to...
And by the time it's winter, if you've been out enough, then you're allowed... You've earned staying in the crib. Otherwise, you still got to pop out.
A quiet January.
Right. Yeah, right.
All right, so let's go... So, Eddie, you wear many hats.
Yeah, so I'm over at East Room. Shout out East Room, 2354 North Milwaukee.
Yeah. And you were a part of the original crew who...
Yeah, so we're building that up, and that's mostly Zach Eastman, Blake Witzman. And other guys over there, but
and have you guys made Tara the official Duchess of the East Room,
God.
Or is that a title that
no,
she does
yet.
She hold that?
Is
that
we have a couple events coming on, and I think we need to swear her in pretty soon.
I think a coronation would be appropriate. I mean, I think you guys have the legal capabilities.
There are other people who go more than me.
Are there?
I think so.
Actually, she
also
has
I haven't
a point.
Been going out. Lately.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
There are some.
Thank
people
you.
That are,
okay, but
the only person who has my back in this whole room
in 2016 were there people?
Shout out Esquire.
Were there
2016? Of course, there are people who are there more than me.
Okay. Anyway,
I'll go.
So I'm doing the East Room thing.
Right. Thank you.
Then I also teach. Over at SAE, School of Audio Engineering.
Oh, true.
In the Music Business Department over there. And then
you teach in the Music Business Department.
Yeah, so I teach record business and touring and distribution.
Okay. That's dope.
And then I'm also a lawyer, so I get my...
I'm a lawyer.
Right, and I'm a lawyer, right? Just throw that in.
Okay. And you have you take on clients and you give advice
all,
and you...
all like entertainment, media-based clients, essentially. Mostly artists, you know, just trying to protect the artists and make sure that the corporation doesn't... suck them dry of their talent, you know?
Right. Okay, good. All right, we're going to come back to that. How do you make a living?
So I work during the day just across the river here at the Illinois Housing Development Authority. We're We're basically a bank that loans cheap money to developments for the creation of affordable housing throughout the state of Illinois. I've been there for about 2 years. I love it. It's very deal-based, very, transactional stuff, all contracts still. But it's a great time there. And then when I'm not there, I work with my music and entertainment clients on the side, so nights and weekends, putting in those extra hours. And then these days on the weekends.
Can y'all too. Can y'all tell us who you work with, or is that like confidential?
I mean, I could. Right. I don't really put my client list out there, but if you are listening to this podcast, you definitely know a lot of my clients.
Yeah, right.
Most likely.
Right.
But most of my clients are, they're local guys.
And do you do the same stuff that Eddie does for his clients?
Yeah, definitely. All the same stuff.
We probably represent some of the hottest producers in Chicago right now.
Absolutely.
And
they're all people that we, me personally, I've known these guys for some years.
Mm-hmm.
I met them through blogging or through being out there, and have seen them grow to a point where now they need my services. Which is really rewarding. I mean, I do have random clients that just see my name on the internet or get referred from a friend or whatever. But a lot of my good, long lasting clients I've known for some years.
So, what did you? You didn't study entertainment law, though.
No.
What do you practice?
When I was in law school, I didn't have the opportunity to take entertainment law classes. There was something. It was like. They offered it once every couple of years, depended on if the teacher was available. So I didn't have the opportunity to take a lot of entertainment-based stuff.
So you learned on your own?
Yeah, it's just doing.
A lot of IP classes, like copyrights, trademarks. Mm. But I got a lot of my education from going to CMJ, going to South by Southwest.
Oh, cool.
Taking advantage
CMJ.
Of...
CMJ? Yeah, wow.
Yeah. CMJ actually had a lot of... A lot better panels than South by did. CMJ had something really going on.
It's dead now, right?
Yeah, it's super dead now. But I was just taking advantage of that student discount for everything.
Oh, word.
So, yeah, because, at John Marshall, we had copyright, we had trademark. We had one entertainment law class, but it was just it was so broad and just in theory, not actually application, that it really didn't help you when you got out. You know?
Do you think that's a condition of going to law school in Chicago, that they didn't have a more robust entertainment law wing program?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. I went back to DePaul. They asked me, I went to one alumni event, and I started talking with some, professors there, and they kind of, they asked what I did, and I told them I worked with musicians. They're like, oh, that's cool, something you don't hear every day. So they invited me back to come speak at like a panel of these less traditional paths for young attorneys. And I was there, and I'm trying to, everyone else has some, more traditional, but less traditional roles, not the stuff that I do. But they were kind of asking, how do you get clients? What do you do? And in a nutshell, I was I'm just got to go out there. I got to be out in the scene. I got to meet
I got to get drunk.
Right? I got to go to shows and do whatever. And that's
for the culture.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
You really
though.
Do. You got to party.
So
I'm sorry.
The professor was kind of condescending.
A molder of young minds.
Listen, I'm not prescribing that for everyone.
I know. I'm kidding.
Some people.
We're currently enjoying.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, allegedly.
The moderator of the panel was a little condescending about it. Was like, so you just hang out at bars? I was like, whoa.
Okay,
if you want to put it that way. But they didn't ask me. That didn't ask me back to do another one of those panels.
Well, fuck them.
Yeah, right. I
lived in LP, and that shit sucked.
But I do feel like it's to the point is they don't really see Chicago's not a big music city to majority of the city. We're in it. We see it.
Well, when you're in it, think your whole world revolves around it.
But it's such a niche market.
It's super music, but no music business.
Right.
Like, there's the creativity side of it, but nobody thinks like, oh, we need agents here. We need PR here. We need accountants here that understand music. Like, that the focus is only on the creation part, not the business aspect.
True.
Of it.
Right. Well,
so this is the crux of, I think, what That's, we want to talk about, right?
Right.
And there's two kind of, and in some ways this is different from our normal, like, ways of inquiry in some ways, because...
But y'all also, okay, so my mom's a lawyer, and I work for her, and when you write those, like, contracts and documents and whatever, that's art.
And it's thorough.
No, it definitely is. That's my art form, is writing those contracts.
I believe that.
I put on
fully
Gucci Man Trap House 3 and I just get in the zone.
I love doing that. It's weird, nerdy stuff.
I know my mom does too, and I'm just like, I'm boggles my mind. Like, I'm not, but you know, more power to y'all.
But one of the things I wanted to kind of assess, and we were talking with Kari the other day online, you know, Brent and I were talking with Kari the other day, and so I want you to kind of, you know, the both of you and all of us in some ways, what is the music industry like in this moment in 2018 in Chicago? Just a little assessment of, you know, to your point, Eddie, about the lack of some of the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Where are we at? Especially as there's so many and increasing eyes on this city, because of the vibrancy of the work and because of some of the work that you all have done, some of the work that, you know, that Tara has done about generating, and other, you know, journalists have, you know, generated interest in this space. Right. And of course, just the dopeness of the artists. But where are we at in 2018 with a... Would you say an emerging music industry, an absent, a ghost?
Starting to build. We're starting to get more of an infrastructure. But I definitely think we're at the turnover point. Because if you look, that crop that came through with your Chance, Saba, Smino, that group, Mick Jenkins and all that, now we're turning over to see what's next. So is it going to be like a Rick Wilson or a FemDot that bubbles out? You know what I'm saying? So it's like...
now. Probably.
You know, Probably. So now we're starting to see, which is weird, like, the babies of Save Money. Like, you know, Save Money started their wave, and now we're seeing the children of the ones that listen to Save Money. So we're going to see how they progress. We're starting to see companies like HeyBrand that's coming in, making sure that these newer artists have, like, some type of infrastructure. So I think people are starting to get hip to it, to understand that, like, all right, there's a lot of artists out here. Let's try and at least protect them. Let's help them out. The one thing I wish I saw more of, which is already there, but I want to see more of, is more PR options, you know, more booking and PR options for artists to go to. And I wish there was a way for, I guess, doing podcasts like this, for more artists to know that there are lawyers out there for people to talk to. Because that's one of the things, like, they'll have a full, people have conversation with me and they'll get to the end and be like, oh, you're a lawyer? I wish that was already known, so they could go in and be like, okay, I have a legal question, I have this contract. Before I sign it, let me talk to a lawyer. Because 50% of my work is people coming to me trying to figure out a situation afterwards.
Like, so people can holler at y'all?
Yeah, but...
You're taking clients currently?
I'm very reachable.
Okay,
you know?
Okay, all right.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Yeah, indeed, yeah.
You got, Brent?
So, I mean, I agree. I think we're in an emerging time in Chicago as far as the industry and the infrastructure goes. But... from my perspective, a lot of what we're lacking is just awareness. You know, we have a lot of great talent here, but not a lot of artists really know the business side of things and where to go, who to seek out for help. And especially when the whole world is looking at Chicago right now, like, you have the whole world of very experienced labels and industry professionals coming down on Chicago. And not to say everyone is out to get you, but like I was talking with Kari the other day, like, there are people out there that will do you dirty.
Out to get you, yeah.
So you have to be aware of that stuff. And if you're in the profession of making music, and if you're doing it more than just a hobby, this is what you want to do for life, like, you have to spend time to learn about the business side of things or seek out people who know the business side of things that you trust with your life. Right now, I just think that we don't have a lot of education. We don't have a lot of people in Chicago to teach people.
That seems like something that should be, like, so logical, though. Like, whatever you get into, learn the business of it. Like, if I got into selling furniture,
logical.
Yeah, like if
they're
I got
literally
into
the
selling
most
furniture,
illogical would, people in the world.
But if you got into like selling furniture, you understand furniture, right? And
right.
the business of it and manufacturing and all that. Don't jump into something just to like. For clout and
but you're buying and selling the furniture. If you're making the furniture, you know your mind's not.
But even if you're in the whatever you're in the business of, you're gonna learn that
yeah.
business.
You no, know? I agree write. With you. I'm yeah. just saying like their mind is not. And also, it's like when an artist is doing all of that, their attention is diverted. You know, they should be making whatever they're making. They shouldn't necessarily have to. You know,
true.
I mean, at a point, you should have a team. But I'm just saying, like when you get to that point, you shouldn't. Keep doing that stuff yourself.
But then for you to have an effective team, you have to know what your teammates are doing and
True.
If your teammates are doing a good job.
Yeah.
If you don't know what a PR, if what PR is supposed to do, you won't know if they're doing a good job. They can say, hey, I sent out an email blast to 100 people. You could be like, thank you. But that might not be effective for you because you don't know what that role
yeah,
is.
Yeah, the manager
you know?
Could very well not know.
You don't have to know everything when yeah. you have a team, but you have to know something.
Yeah.
Otherwise, again, I mean, you're leaving yourself open to being taken advantage of.
It's true.
I think when you know when we think traditionally of the music business, when we think of particularly the role of record labels inside of hip hop, I mean, I go back to you know A Tribe and Industry Rule number 4080,
right.
and so I wonder if that is still the case in this moment in 2018 as people are navigating new spaces and their new ways to engage with a populist that is consuming music in a different way, and is, would you say, in your estimation, record companies still shady?
As I got older and more into the business, I realized that they're not shady per se. They're just doing business, and they're trying to get the maximum for themselves. They're not in this game, and that's what artists need to understand as well. When you're signing with a label, they're not signing you to curate your talent and make you the best artist. They're trying to see you as a flip. They're like, okay, we can put this much amount of money into them, and we're going to generate this much sales.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when people get so emotional and they're like, oh, man, they shelled me or they did whatever, it was strictly a business move. They don't care about the emotional attachment that artists may have with their music. So we have to understand. And when we understand from that perspective, you know they're not shady anymore. They're just doing business. So now as a lawyer that's representing an artist, I'm going to work for or fight for what's best for my client. And then that's where negotiation comes in. We're going to meet somewhere in the middle of what the label wants and what the artist wants. So the artist, when you get that first contract, of course, is going to be very one-sided and for the label because the label drafted it and they want these terms. So it's like we get into tricky situations when we're like, oh, we're just going to sign it because we see the advance or it looks good. And then
you got to pay back that advance.
Right. Then a year later, they're stuck in a deal because they thought the label was looking out for them. No, no, no. This is business. So when you go in there with a business mindset, you understand how things operate.
And not to mention, like, labels aren't just giving out money anymore. You know, like, you really have to be an established artist with a plan. You know, like, you have to pretty much be making it on your own for labels to even be interested in you. You have no idea how many times I'll get, you know, contracts sent my way that are from, like, quote-unquote, like, a label. But nowadays, like, a lot of the indie labels are not really, they're more of like a distribution arm and a management company. Yeah.
Well,
you know?
I heard that major labels are like tapping or just like meeting with rappers who have like very low followers. You're trying to catch people real early, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but
they got
if they sign those artists, they'll get them for nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like a fishnet type thing where they just throw a large fishnet out there and try and catch something.
True.
Through it, they might find a big fish out of it, you know?
And that doesn't necessarily
might being the operative word.
Yeah.
I think,
there's
just
so much.
That doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad, like, I always tell people there's not objectively bad deals most of the time. It really depends on what you're looking to get out of that deal. And you'd have to really focus on when you got a contract in front of you, like, okay, what can these people do for me? And will my career be in a better place with them than without them? And it's a tough question. It's not as easy because you can't necessarily predict that you're going to get another offer. You know, this might be the only $15,000 you ever get in your life, you know, or ever get offered. We don't know. So there's always going to be risk. But you just at the end of the day, you just have to you have to have a sense of trust with the people you're getting into business with.
Well, this was the conversation we started to have with Kari a little bit. And shout out to Kari. And I know at some point we're going to have him on the program, one of the
amazing
rappers.
Lyricist. Yeah.
But is there a potentiality to begin to imagine a new way that labels interact with artists? And do we have the possibility of making a new kind of industry in Chicago? And I say that to your point because maybe there are no, you know, I mean, I wonder if there are no bad deals. And in part, I wonder because is the industry in its conception similar to, you know, a sports contract? Is a recording contract similar? And where you have this predominance of, you know, the totality of white owners, you know, who are contracting black cultural and production and labor. And in that relationship, then, isn't that not only a form of constant chronic inequity, but do we have that ability in this moment to imagine a different kind of system that equally considers the artist a partner in that enterprise?
I think that's why labels hate Chance so much. Because what he's doing that we can consider an anomaly, but if there was a way for that to become structuralized, especially here in Chicago where it became a way of life and actually people followed that format, there would be the new industry within that. I think more artists need to understand the power in their copyright, the power in their creativity and what they actually own, and not be so willing to give that away to somebody else just for them to middleman a situation for them. And especially in 2018, we have so much technology now. You know, streaming is now the wave. All you need to do is have a TuneCore or CD Baby, get yourself out there. I think we're starting to see a new shift where it's more artist-friendly deals. Starting to see a lot more management companies pop up where they're like, we'll manage you and we'll just handle your distribution. You don't necessarily need a label. But the thing is, we have to remember with major labels, they've been here for a while and they're always going to be here for a while. They're pretty much like Skynet, you could say. Like, they're just going to Terminator.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
I didn't know.
Right? Sorry. So they're kind of like in that situation where they can just sit back and let something new happen, and then they just like adapt and take it. You know what I'm saying?
That's so exactly what I was saying.
Yeah, so they're literally just, so they'll
just
wait.
They're poaching people now.
Yeah, I mean, they're poaching people, but they're also poaching ideas and actually poaching culture.
Yes.
So, like, they're going to just wait and see how this indie wave operates.
Well, now it,
and then
they got
gonna
smart,
plant themselves
though.
In it. You know?
Yeah, and even like, the guy from Complex went to Def Jam, Noah, CB, whatever. They're starting like an editorial, you know, portion of Def. You know, it's just like, and that makes sense for it to happen, and it should happen, but, you know, I think that just speaks to
Because what is it right
saying.
Now? Everybody cares about data. It's all about numbers and, like, who has the most data, who can create the most content, who can generate the most viewers to whatever it is. So it doesn't have to be a label per se. It's just if you have content and you have viewers, you can monetize that and you will win.
Yeah, and then you have the people who say indie, you know, like Mick just said, you know, he's indie now. You know, Saba, I mean, they got distribution deals or whatever, but like, you know,
What do you want as an artist, you know? There's lots of great artists out there that have long-lasting careers going the indie route and doing it themselves with a very small team. But do you want to be Drake? Like, because then maybe you're going to need help from a label who has pull at all the radio stations, and you know, like, they, the labels offer something, but it's a balancing act between, you know, what you're giving up and what you're getting from these situations. So that's why I say, like, there's not necessarily, you know, objectively bad deals, just because sometimes you need a step up. But if you're taking that step just because you want to get on quicker, I personally don't think that's the move. I think that you should take your time. If you make good music, you will be successful. If you're making good music, you know the business, and you have a good team around you, like, you will be successful.
Even what you just said is a jump from making good music, right? Because there, like, even to your point, there is a good artist, and then there are people who have built a team around them, a whole crew that propels them into the world.
And I don't even know. I mean, I think that if you have a good team, or, well, if you make good music, people are going to be attracted to that music and want to participate in what you got going on. when you're a little bit lesser known, it's easier to weed out, you know, the shady folks and see the snakes in the grass. But a team is essential. So at some point, you're going to have to work with some people.
And even that, I would say, is a step up from just I am an artist who is, yeah, you know, writing these raps in my basement. You know what I mean? That, right, like, I need an infrastructure to help me ascend into the world. And you know?
If people are going to come and work with you for free,
yeah,
then they're probably good people. And that's kind of how, like, you start.
Or they see something in you.
Right. Start trying to, you know, assemble your trusted team early on.
Who are, like, your day ones? Like, who right, are the folks who...
Who's been here? Who's, yes, been riding with you? I mean, they might not have all the experience in the world. They may not have all the connections, but they'll more than most likely be loyal to you.
Yeah.
But
it's so sad, though, I have to say, when I see an artist take that next step and then they leave their manager behind. See it a couple times.
I've seen it a lot. Yeah.
They have that manager that really works them up, and then... They just sign with somebody bigger.
But sometimes
that's so sad.
Oh, no. Go ahead. I was just going to say, but then it's giving those young people the tools they need to understand how this shit works. Because I think there's a lot of naivete surrounding, you know, how you actually move in an industry. Because
you can learn this stuff, though. As a manager, like, the same way artists develop themselves and they get better with Fruity Loops or Pro Tools, you can, as a manager, like, learn from your mistakes and grow. And, like, what you have to realize is, like, that failure actually propels you sometimes. So as a manager, you can't be like, oh, I don't know what to do as a manager. None of us really do when we first start until we actually get into it and we actually see how this thing works. You know, like, that's why I said with John Marshall, teaching me the theory of entertainment law doesn't help me. I'm not sitting here debating with people about what's a copyright. I'm sitting here trying to figure out who's in ownership of this copyright.
Right, applicable, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, don't be afraid to, like, fail at this. Just make sure.
And you will. I'm sorry.
You are going to fail, but just make sure you don't make that mistake again. And, you know, just don't double up on that mistake. When you learn from it,
right,
figure out a new
do
way
better.
To move.
Yeah. Shit.
How else are you going to learn?
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Right. Unless you mess it up.
Failure to success or some phrase.
You know, speaking of failure, Tara Mahadevan.
Is that, like, in reference to me?
No, it's
said, like, speaking of failure.
Where are you going
speaking
with
of
that
failures.
are a major failure, Tara.
This is actually an intervention. We brought 80 people into the studio.
I know. That's not a laugh track, y'all. There's literally 10 people in here.
To talk to you about your propensity for going to the East Room.
To the East Room.
Yo, I offer you gentlemen a sincere apology.
Yeah, we fucked up.
We fucked up.
No, it was a failure.
It's recorded. No. It is a faux pas. It is a failure. We embrace failure. A fuck up.
Yes.
On my part.
Party foul?
Yeah, I think indeed. Okay. We have you in the corner store, and we did not offer you snacks.
Yeah.
I know. We tweaked.
I thought we already
had
the snacks.
That was just, you know, cocktail hour.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't do carbs after 9 o'clock.
Okay, fair. But nonetheless, we do have some gifts for you all. I'm going to dole them out.
Six.
Yes.
Do I see a tangy cheese in there?
Hey, man, look, I'm going to...
You cannot peek in the snack bag, all right, but, okay?
Hold up. How did you see those?
You got x-ray vision with those glasses.
Damn. And no. all right, so Marlena is the snack provider, and we have some Vintners, some salt and sour sizzling hots. Now, I don't know how...
Oh, he just went for
okay,
it.
Okay, all right.
So you're going to have to give him each.
Middle,
okay,
we'll
all right. We also have, these are good. We have some Twizzlers.
Ooh.
And they are the strawberry.
Like, and they're mine.
Strawberry, okay. We also have some beverages.
Say that
we got
licorice.
We got the young green tea with ginseng and honey.
Okay.
The Arizona. Okay. But hey, don't trip. We also have a fruit punch.
Ooh.
Okay. Damn it.
This is the best snack time ever.
99 cents to a dollar.
Also.
No, you can't. Like,
also,
what else is.
Yeah, no. Wait, I got it. Also, an original Vintner's potato chips. I don't know if you want to mix and mash that. Maybe you just.
Okay. Mix and match set.
So you mix
of
and match,
snacks,
and you don't know which one you're going to get. You might get an original chip.
Yeah, because sizzling hots don't look like sizzling hots.
Right.
See?
So
And then, mm-hmm. This is so many snacks, by the way. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted from doling out
but
snacks.
But you're like really good. You enunciate and
thank you.
Say every letter.
I think this is a perfect. I think this is perfect for the two of you. We have two Reese's peanut butter cups. That's not a racial commentary. I'm just saying that there are two of them. Is my point.
You don't get it. Did you know that me and Brett are the law game version of Run the Jewels?
Yes, this is true.
You're though. Excuse me. Say, oh yes, actually. Yeah. See
no. Yeah. Do you guys have an insignia that we might put on a sweater?
We don't.
We don't have all that yet. But
you're just looking for a graphic designer.
Not like the middle finger, isn't there?
Somebody
like
DM me some graphic design work.
Let's go.
Pitch some things.
I'll give you some clout. I can't.
Y'all can be a DJ.
So please,
DJ duo.
Mm-hmm. Learn to DJ now, Brent.
I'm not good at that.
Let's attack the courtroom. We'll just do that.
So please enjoy the snacks at your leisure.
Thank you.
You know, enjoy.
You must eat them all now.
Right? Oh my God, yeah.
No, we were late. You must eat them all now.
To the microphone for the remainder.
No, really, sound effects.
We love sound effects.
We love that. So if you want to open the bag,
please feel free.
Mic,
yeah, do your thing.
It. Yeah.
I guess you know in the final bunch of minutes that we have, this is I think the biggest ask, right? Because this is what you all get paid for, and I'm wondering if there, because I know we have young listeners, young artists who tune in and listen to this show, and I'm wondering as folks are beginning to approach that point where they're thinking about taking their business end of things seriously, what are first and foremost, they obviously should holler at y'all, and we're going to give out that information.
No free advice.
That's right. Well,
what would you tell a young artist who might be in the process of making a new relationship, signing a document, working with a brand, getting their feet wet in the business end of this industry?
Stay in tune. Like, understand what is coming up and where the business side is going. We have Google. Everybody who has internet access has access to Google. You can research all of this stuff. So along with you trying to understand what the hot records are, understand where the trends are going, you know, understand how streaming is going, if there are new platforms coming up, you know, because one of the artists I was working with, we jumped on Tidal when Tidal first launched, and we were able to become one of the Tidal Discovery artists. It was launched just to go to New York and do some shows out there. So it was just because we were hip to what a new platform was out there, so we attacked it. So just being in tune with your business, like we said earlier, if you get into the music business, understand the business side of it. The music part will come. And then also the last I would say is just be a nice person to be around. You know, like people have to actually enjoy your presence for you to get more looks. For you to be in the Complex office and doing interviews and all that, people have to enjoy you. Like, if they don't, they won't have you around, regardless of how good you are.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. If you're going, I know artists don't like to spend time, you know, learning about business. It's kind of boring. But they should, you know, there's lots of cool resources out there. And, you know, like we were talking about earlier about going to South by Southwest, because we do that every year. Aside from like the cool shows to go to, there's like a whole conference that South by Southwest started as. It was an educational conference about music business, music, you know, and other things. Like, we have one here in Chicago that's free every year, the Lake Effects thing. They had it for a couple years. It's not nearly as big, but I mean, they have cool panels and discussions about upcoming trends in the music industry, and, you know, how to protect yourself or how to tour and book things. You know, like, there are these free platforms to go learn about this stuff. And I think that if you're just making music and you're not taking any time whatsoever to educate yourself, you're just doing yourself a disservice. Yeah. So,
this makes me think a little about, I don't know if you guys remember the Nike ABCD camp that they used to do for premier high school athletes, basketball players in particular. But that was like kind of summer week where they had like some of the premier athletes in the country come. You would play ball, I think, in the afternoon, but in the morning you would get an education about the league, about going to to college, about what you might want to study in college. And I think about some of the emerging music programs we have in the city now. And I think some of it should be tied to this business aspect of things.
Definitely. I think I need to do a better job also at providing more opportunities for artists to get this education. Aside from me doing my legal work, I know I've talked with Brett numerous times about it, and just trying to organize more panels and more seminars for artists to come and just grab some knowledge, because oftentimes it's they know what they need to do. It's just that little push they need of reassurance. They're like, hey, bro, you're on the right path. You're good. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes we get held up by like the minutest detail because we're like, oh, I thought I need this. And if you came and sat down with somebody and they were like, bro, you're good. You're on the right path. You know, you could that reassurance boosts the confidence, and then you can actually go create more, you know?
Yeah, these are facts. Well, I'm thinking of this as we're sitting here, but I think that panel maybe at YCA would be really powerful
for
a lot of the young musicians who come through that space.
Definitely set that up.
I would love that. Yeah, and you guys would be, you know, perfect for it, obviously. Yeah. That'd be very dope.
Yeah,
I mean,
see, that's how you manifest your ideas.
That's why I brought you. Yeah, exactly. Cool. So I guess in terms of this moment in the scene, you know, who, I mean, you know, you mentioned FemDot. And who else did you mention?
Rick Wilson.
Yeah. Thank you.
Kari.
Who else are we? I mean, you guys just put out a super dope artist to watch out for in 2018.
That was great. Well, the These Days team really came into their own this year. You know, we kind of
agreed.
True. We need to have a separate conversation about this too.
Yeah, no, like, totally.
And we should have a show
with
just
Eric.
With These Days.
Yeah, with
yeah,
Eric
with
and
like the squad.
Yeah.
But we had you know, we kind of came into our own. We found a, you know, a common direction, and we just have a bunch of great team members that are super interested in what we do, and in Chicago music. And we put together that artist watch list that came out. We spent all day Saturday debating and figuring out who was going to be on there. But I mean, a bunch of good names. We had
I noticed Young Noodle Cup was not on there.
Of course.
Yeah, Corner Store alum.
Young Noodle Cup. Recently, right?
The Mind was on there.
We had Tasha on there.
Yeah,
we had Valet on there.
Hey.
Who else did we have on there?
Do you have Kaina?
What's that?
Do you have Kaina?
We did not have Kaina on there.
Kaina
is team These Days, though.
Oh, yeah. True.
So
it's
a conflict of interest. Right. Yeah. She had to recuse herself from the list.
Yeah, Fresh Waters.
Yeah.
Shout out Fresh.
John Doe. But just a bunch of
it's a great,
cool,
great article, great list.
Exciting people that we're excited to hear projects from. So hopefully everybody drops something this year. Because that's what we hope for.
Everyone on that list is working. Yeah. I mean, very, very hard.
What is a project nowadays?
Facts.
Okay, that's a separate conversation.
Yeah, sorry.
Do you need more writers though, Brent?
We are always entertaining new writers. I don't know, if you're about it and you love to write and you love the Chicago music scene, like, we want to talk to you. Absolutely.
I don't know if he was on the list, but Felix is up next as well.
Oh, yo. Felix is dope.
Yo. Felix was on our best projects of 2017.
He goes crazy.
He's outstanding. We're gonna have him on the show at some point soon, and he's at the Soho House at Chicago next soon too.
Saw him at South by. Jamila Woods performed. He played like the keys and the bass during her set, and then who followed up after? It was like No Name performed afterwards,
and he was also
and
on her scene,
yeah. Like
singing on her, on, her on her set,
singing on that, playing keys, doing like drums. I'm like,
well,
this man's like a Swiss Army knife.
It's like the silent
crazy.
Party. Silent Party, yeah. They're dope too. They back Matt, everyone. You
oh,
know?
That's yeah. That's yeah. That's the Chicago
Ralph,
sound.
Ralph,
right?
Ralph is crazy with the drums.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they need their own documentary and also concert, and also we should get a lot of those.
World.
What's the
Kevin
World tour?
Because
you've seen a lot of this stuff, bro. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Saw a lot
Facts.
Of it before it started happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And who are you checking for now?
Oh, that's it, man. I'm just Felix right now, man.
Oh, is it? No, no books, no TV shows.
No, nobody else.
Well, nope. I guess
are you,
those
are you
the
reading?
Other things.
Are you watching?
Am
anything?
I reading?
Yeah, yeah.
I watched Black Mirror.
Yeah.
And now I don't want to get on my phone anymore.
This new season,
right? I watched this new season. I'm like scared, but no. not reading anything right now, except for these contracts that people send.
Hey, listen.
That's hefty reading.
So, I'm reading that Shoe Dog by Phil Knight. It's about starting Nike.
Oh, word.
Which is dope. I like reading that stuff. It's motivating.
Yeah. Have you seen that book, Sneakers?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A beautiful
book.
What's
that one?
It's like little short interviews with creators in the sneaker industry.
Oh, dope.
It's for like super nerd sneakerhead types, but I got it from my brother for Hanukkah.
Nice.
Yeah. It's banging. That book
is
beautiful.
That's a great gift.
Is that one an autobiography?
It is, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really into autobiographies right now.
Yeah. Gucci Man.
Gucci.
Yeah, I just got the Gucci one. Yeah.
I just got Gucci.
Trying to put mine together right now.
Your autobiography?
Yeah, I want Denzel to star as me. Trying to figure out how I can get that done. So I'm trying to get a couple more accomplishments in my life so I can present it to him like, hey.
Yo, Denzel, really, fuck with me.
We're going to have a really dense character here. I think you'll really enjoy this.
I guess who would play the young Eddie as a DJ for BBU, though?
Oh, man. I guess who plays the Black Panther? He's the one that does all the black documentaries right now. Chadwick. Yeah, he can be the young.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
And also, since we all have this on right now, Fat Tiger is next as well.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
besides from the music,
Tiger.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You already know that, like, what they're doing, I really enjoy as well, because the same way Leaders was that, like, birthplace of like Chance, Vic, and all of them. It was the spot that they could come to and feel safe, that safe zone. Fat Tiger is creating that now in the city, and I think that's like really important, and to see where their growth goes as business owners as well. We got to shout them out.
I mean, they had a sale the other day and a line around the block.
Yeah, you know? Crazy, like, right?
That's wild.
Okay, but wait, before we go, anything you've slept on recently that, you know, you discovered and you're like, damn, why didn't I think about, you know, it's been out for a while, you heard about it, but you ain't Pete.
Was it Brockhampton?
True, yes.
Like, honestly,
everyone.
So
I feel
good.
Like that's the whole world right,
right so
now.
Alive.
They've been around for like 4 or 5 years, right?
It was one of those like randoms, like iTunes or Apple shuffles that just popped up, and I'm like, yo, this record's rocking. Right. I look back down, like, who's this dude with blue paint on his face? Like, okay, I actually enjoy this.
They put it like 3 albums or something last
year.
Called Saturation. Get it?
Right.
Saturation.
I'm still kind of sleep on them. I mean, I've heard some records, and they're
no, cool. Listen like to them. The Spotify playlist of their shit, because it's just like the best records on all the albums.
Listen to Saturation 3.
All right,
Saturation and then three?
Yeah, Saturation 3. Because
did you listen to all of them?
Yeah, but I'm right now I'm stuck on Saturation 3 because I love storytelling, and these guys know how to rap and they know how to tell a story.
Also, Kevin Abstract's last album was really good. I think it was 2016.
Word.
Like,
agreed.
Last American Boy or whatever. That wasn't right, but
no,
just.
Yeah, what is it? Dylan's a big fan.
American boyfriend.
Yeah,
The homie
he
Dylan
sings.
And I were talking about it.
Kevin Abstract sings on it.
She said The Last American Boy. That's an awesome title. It's just in itself.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Bro.
Hey, listen,
I have amnesia during these podcast recordings.
She'd be like, damn, wait, who we talk to?
Eddie? What?
I appreciate y'all. This has been, I think, a very instructive conversation. My question is, how and where can people find you, and is it real? Like, if people have questions about their work, questions about how to navigate the industry, can they for real reach out?
Yeah, you want to start, or I go first?
You go ahead.
All right, so we're going to Eddie Sanders. Eddie. @ sandersesq.com.
Eddie E as in
EddieSanders. No, Eddie Sanders. All right. So let's get that. What is it? Twitter is This Is Esquire. Instagram, Sanders ESQ. Website, Sanders ESQ. Email, Eddie@SandersESQ. And you'll probably catch me at East Room. Not as much as Tara, but you'll definitely catch me at East Room.
Hey.
And you can say hi there. You know,
low blow.
I'm a cool person.
Low blow.
You can find me on all socials as No Free Advice.
Yes! No Free Advice.
No Free Advice.
Brent was very quiet.
I know,
during the
so
what should
cool
you tell young
that.
Artists. He's like,
so listen,
and it's so
this
real
ain't no
that,
free
that
advice.
He obviously like, will not pass out free advice, and I love it.
No, well, no.
You don't? I feel like you'd be giving
Eddie,
me advice.
Me and Eddie have these talks often, and I love doing it, and I love you know, putting people on to stuff, but just don't come at me expecting
right.
me to free spend shit. My day yeah. doing a whole bunch of free services is the message.
But, I remember when you tweeted that, you're like, should I change my handle yeah. to no free advice?
It was very yes. popular. I was like, okay, done. So no free advice on everything. You can get me, you can email me at brent@brentbutcherlaw.com. And then follow these days_news on Twitter and Instagram.
True.
Facts. Fellas, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Next you'll see us at YCA. We're going to set this up. We're going to have like a music law seminar.
Let's get it.
Hey, actually, let's build on this. Bring in an accountant.
Okay.
The financial side of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Gang.
In the building. Yeah, really appreciate having you guys in the corner.
Hey, thank you.
Thank
as
you.
Well.
Let's eat these chips.
Hey.
Shout out DJ Exist for the beat and Langston Austin for the artwork. The Corner Store is recorded at the WGN Radio Studios and produced by Mike Heideman. I'm Marlena, the co-producer, and I also run social media, so follow us at Shy Corner Store on Twitter and IG.